Like I said last week, I'm kind of doing an Advent thing, which I haven't done before. But today I'm talking about Simeon's everything. You see, I want us to be excited. When you leave today, I want you to be excited for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you have to be giddy. I'm not saying you have to skip out of here. But what I'm saying is, I want your soul to be so on fire and in love with Jesus that the earth can't shake what's coming. Because I know what's coming, man, my eternity with Christ. You know, I in pre-service prayer, I was praying, and I wish when we flip the calendar to December 1st, everybody's problems would just melt away. But that doesn't happen, does it? But God said, man, I got you. So let's read from Luke chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many may be revealed. Lord, we come before you today. Your word tells us every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. That is so triumphant, yet at the same time so tragic. You see, when this side of death, we proclaim that you are Lord, and we bow our knees, surrendering our lives to you, we know we have eternity. We know that we are going to be with you forever. And Lord, if that happens on the other side of death, they will proclaim who you are and bow their knee. But the judgment of their sin would be on their own lives, and they would be departed from you into eternity in hell. So Lord, we celebrate today. Give us your zeal and your zest to reach out to other people with your truth, Lord Jesus. But let us be like Simeon today. Let us be excited. He waited for you, Lord. I don't believe that morning he woke up and they said, go to the temple, you see the Messiah. Lord, my belief is it was a while in the waiting. But he knew that you were going to come through. Let that be our heart. And let us look at this Christmas season and say, you know, Jesus, you're my everything. So, Lord, I pray that wherever each person in this room and watching online is, that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, that they would have hearts to receive. Give us hearts to receive today, Lord. In your name, amen. Sometimes when I go the east side, I am amazed at the number of cars at the line at Dunkin' Donuts. I counted 10 one day. I said, number 10, park, walk in, get your coffee and leave 15 minutes before. See, I don't like drive-thrus anyway, so I don't do that most of the time. But I mean, I understand. If there's anything you want to wait for, it's coffee. I get that. Some things are just worth the wait, but to wait in line in a car for 15 minutes, it boggles me. It just boggles me. See, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple for circumcision. And there was a man there who knew he was going to see the Messiah. He was going to see God's anointed one. He takes him up in his arms, and he is so excited. He waited upon God, and he saw it. You know, that I love the example of Simeon, that when God promised something to him, he took hold of it. And it came to completion. I don't know about you, but when God tells you to wait, when it's me, man, it's always a lot longer than I want it to be. But God, it's been this many years. Yeah, keep going. We get tired of waiting. That's where compromise comes in. We start negotiating with God. Henry Kissinger passed away this past week. He was a marvelous mediator. He was great at getting people, you compromise, we're meeting in the middle. But we can't compromise with God. It has to be His way all the time. What I'm talking about today is we have to have hope in the waiting. Can't you just imagine Simeon's eyes when he saw the Lord? Can you just realize? And I remember December 25th, 1979, the first Christmas that I was a Christian. I was the only Christian in my family. But I remember, man, just looking out the window, and life was new. I still enjoyed all the trappings of the holiday, but it meant something more to me that I had a connection with the creator of the universe. First point I'm going to make is the assurance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Simeon couldn't see what was going to happen, but he knew. What has God spoken to you? What have you read in His Word? Hey, you know what? I talk to parents of prodigals, and they say, man, God, I feel God has really told me my child's going to come to know Him, but it's been 20 years. Press on. God's promises always come through. Simeon knew that. His faith to me is such an encouragement. He had a deep love of God. His faith was unshakable. The Holy Spirit told him, hey, this is going to be the consolation of Israel. This is going to be salvation, reconciliation. Jews knew what they were talking about. If God says it, it's going to happen. But have you looked at the news? I have. I know what's going on in the Middle East. I know what's going on in this country. I know more and more I read how Christians are likened to brainwashed people. I read another account this week where they likened people that live by the Bible, so God speaks to them, to being like Hamas, being like terrorists. That's the Antichrist moving in this world, and it's not going to get any better without a revival, without a movement of God. So yes, I know what's going on in this world, but I know Jesus, and He has overcome the world. So Simeon's legacy is one of devotion. And that's something, let God speak to you today. Where are you devoted to the Lord, man? You're sold out 100%. But how about when He puts His finger on the pressure point that hurts? Pressure points aren't fun. I had a friend of mine who was in special ops. And he wasn't even drunk. I'm at a party. And he goes, hey, watch this. And he puts this stupid chokehold on me. And I'm blacking out. And finally, somebody else goes, hey, idiot, let him go. I'm glad that happened. See, that's what Satan does to us. He knows your weakness. Like I said, I could go live at Turning Stone because gambling does nothing for me. And it wouldn't faze me. Maybe that's not it for all of you. But there's some things that really you're going to touch me and you look at it like, you got to be kidding me? Like, I love my wife to death, but I don't understand her sometimes. I mean, I see this really good Lexus SUV. It's only, you know, $95,000. Even if I had the money, I wouldn't buy that. I'm going, are we related? I don't care what I drive. And it's true. I can't relate to that. But that's my. But then again, she likes craft stuff and praise God. Simeon has divorced. She knows, but she loves me anyways. Simeon had a priority. Your priority has to be Jesus Christ. But if I do this, my family might act a different way. Well, I'm not telling you to get out there and to be outrageous, but don't hide your faith. Don't hide your faith to get along, because you know what? When we diminish the light God has given us, it's not going to attract people. When we shine forth, it's amazing. Some of the people that ridicule me the most, when it hits the road for them, that's when they call me. And it's hard, because you want everybody to like you. But Simeon was a man of devotion, priority. He was a man of obedience. Obedience is not comfort. Obedience is saying, okay, God, this is hard. And the devil will put somebody in your path to come against it. Look at Abraham. Finally has a son. What does God say? Sacrifice him. Whoa. We can't even relate to that. But he knew God had a promise through his son, and he knew God would somehow bring him back to life. So he goes to sacrifice him, and God stops him. Wow. Are we willing to lay stuff on the altar? Our finances, our time, our lives, our commitment? You know, we don't know how long Simeon waited, but I think it was for a while. You know, saying, I heard this song before, maybe you've heard of it. It goes, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. You know, maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, a personal one. You need to pray about it. Let God touch you today. And let me encourage you, I said this before, but as anybody is up here speaking, if a point is made in the Holy Spirit, God really touches you, it's okay to quit listening to me. But keep listening to God. If a point is made, whoa, that's really where I'm at. It's okay to maybe open the Bible to that place, to pray through it, say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? You can always go back and watch it online. But don't say, yeah, I'll come back to that later. It's like at the end of the time, I think I'm going to have a time for, I'm going to sing a song and maybe do an altar call. And you know what happens? See, yeah, I don't want to go in front of people, so I'll do it when I leave. And you know what? No, that doesn't work. When God says now, it ain't later. So if God speaks to you, and God is, I'm going to tell you what, God wants to, he wants to depart hope and joy and faith to some of you today. He wants you to come into the newness of life. You've been down and out too long. The blessings of obedience. We see that in Simeon's life. You know, look at Noah. Didn't really rain. Hey, build a boat. Do you know the ridicule that man took? What was it, like 100 years? If you want to know what it looks like, go to Answers in Genesis, Ark Encounter, go online. They have a replica of it. I haven't been there. I've heard it's amazing. It took a lot of garbage for decades and decades and decades. But the only other people in the Ark were the only one that survived. You see, obedience comes with a blessing. When we obey God, there is nothing more fulfilled. Now, there is a lot of great things in life. Syracuse winning a football game. Oyster crackers. Dare I say it, Joe? The Bills losing a football game. You know, there's only a few things in life that really brings pleasure. Repent. Forgive me, Lord. And deliver them. But there's nothing like obeying God. It happened to my wife yesterday. Somebody stopped by to say, I don't know why I'm supposed to be here, but, you know, I'm supposed to stop by. And she was in a place where, man, that was God speaking to her. So this, you know, this, I don't know what I'm doing, but God told me to do this. Boom. Obey God. Obey God in the little things when he talks to you. And when it happens, there is no greater joy. The thing I love about God, he reaches us where we are at. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood, spent all her money, spent over 10 years, she'd been having this issue, she's bleeding and she's worthless to society. She finally reaches out to Jesus, touches his garment. What happens? Healed. Sometimes God meets us because we're in a desperate place. Sometimes God will put us in a desperate place so we will meet him. If we're not meeting him when life is good, guess what? He loves Dick Beaumont enough to tighten up the screws. So he will meet us in our desperation. He met Simeon in his obedience. He blessed Simeon. You know, and Simeon waited on God. He knew that God was going to come through. God, you said, I know you're going to come through, God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I want the everything of Simeon to be my everything and to be your everything with Jesus Christ. I love the tree. I love the cross in the back now because it represents. We need to cling to the promises of God that we see in his word. And when life is coming again, we need to cling to it. We need to reflect and pray through his word. God wants to bring newness. He wants to bring restoration and hope and strength to us. And God threw me a curve yesterday because, you know, I've taken these preaching classes, I got the books, and I know you're supposed to go down this line and everything points to the main point. But when I was praying yesterday, God told me to share this, Ezekiel 37. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These old bones, old dead bones. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. How about you today? Do you feel a little dried up in your faith? Do you feel like God has forgotten you exist? Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Today is a day of hope. I want you to take that hope. Some of you have been beaten up. Some of you have gone through it. But God is saying, I am here to make your bones come to life. If you read Ezekiel, the body's formed. Then he puts sinew. And then what happens? It's not good just having a body. He breathes the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit when we have a relationship with Christ. Let's allow that to ramp up in our lives today. Let us say, I have hope, but life is hard, but I have hope in Jesus Christ. I have the faith of Simeon that my God is going to move. I want you and I want me to not be bound anymore by the lies of the enemy and by the terrible things we see happening in the world today. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It doesn't say, I'm going to remove you from this situation. It doesn't say, I'm going to give you thousands of dollars to get out of debt. It doesn't say, I'm going to heal those who are sick. It doesn't say, I'm even going to necessarily heal relationships. But he says, I'm going to give you a divine, supernatural rest, an inner peace that you know in your knower that it's going to be okay. The blessings of obedience is keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ in all seasons. And in a while, we're going to have a chance to respond, because I believe when God says respond, and I respond, he blesses my obedience like he did with Simeon. So I give you that today, because in this season, let's remember, we have the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead within us. Let's not live as defeated people when we have the ultimate victory. My last point is finding everything. I like to speak about Simeon, and if I don't speak on him every year, at least I study this portion of Scripture, because I love the joy and the peace and the fulfillment that comes to life with a surrendered life. Then in 34 and 35, he said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." You don't think Jesus Christ is opposed in today's world? "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." He's talking to Mary. This is what's going to happen to your son. She saw him crucified. She saw him die. "So that the thoughts from many hearts would be revealed." When things ramp up, What's the thought of your heart that's going to be revealed? Is it steadfast faith in Jesus Christ? Today's the day to be encouraged. And in a little while, when we do have a response time, I don't want you to come from a place of strength. I want you to come from a place of need. Because when I come from a place of my own strength, that's trusting in me, not God. You know, what does Corinthians tell us? You know, when we're weak, we're made strong in him. Enjoy the season. Decorate. I mean, I got friends. I love them to death. They play Christmas music 12 months out of the year. I do like Christmas music. But I don't want to be distracted from what it's all about. You know, this past week, Melody and I went to a funeral. A family member's brother died. And I don't like funerals. I don't like seeing people that don't know Jesus, don't have hope. Breaks my heart. I remember when my grandmother died, I think at the time, her and I were the only Christians in the family. She was bedridden. She was 93 years old. I couldn't grieve that she died, because I know she wasn't bedridden anymore. I know that this woman was having a good old time with Jesus Christ, but I remember looking at all my relatives and my mom and going, "Open their eyes, Lord." And I respect that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not being hard-hearted here, but I'm trying to say, man, I'm going to find everything. I want Jesus Christ. I love Simeon, verse 29, goes, "Lord, now are you letting your servant depart in peace?" He goes, "I've got it all. I've got it all. I've seen the Lord. I just wish I was there to see him as he held the baby." And he knew the baby was going to grow up. Okay, he didn't worship the baby. He was worshiping the Savior. He says, "Now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." My question to you, have your eyes seen the salvation of Jesus Christ? If not, as I'm praying, I'm just going to ask you, man, say, "Jesus, I'm yours." Jesus said, we are either for him or against him. There's no Switzerlands in heaven, you know what I'm saying? There's no down the middle. You're either for Jesus or against him. But I'm a nice person. Do you love Jesus? Then you're against him. How could you say that? I didn't. He did. Jesus gave his all so we could get his all. Simeon was fully committed. He clung to God's word and he lived by it. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. I'm going to do a summary, and they prepare. Like Simeon, don't give up. Hold fast to the promises of God. Make the commitment to be wholeheartedly, to wholeheartedly obey the word of God. If you're dry spiritually today, ask God for restoration. I love what Pastor Mike Stahl used to preach. He used to say, if you're dry, ask God to change your desire. I remember the first time I heard that, I said, it's kind of easy, so I did it. I left church the same. 2 weeks later, all of a sudden I realized, what happened? So God answers prayer. It just may not be instantaneous. We're not talking about an emotional pick-me-up that lasts like a sugar rush. I'm talking about an impartation of the Holy Spirit that lasts forever. Surrender to Jesus, placing your faith in him brings peace. We're going to sing that new song again. Obedience brings risk. I'm bringing a risk. How do I say that? Because I know if I do an altar call and nobody responds, you feel like a fool. I'm going to do what God told me to do. God wants us to respond. God is saying, do you love me? Do you have that zeal like Simeon? If not, do you want me to fill you? Do you want your dry bones to come to life? We're going to stand and sing the song, and I'm going to ask you to do something we don't like to do. I'm going to ask you to move. Look at this chasm we have here. This is why I want to go back to the stage. I'm tired of the Grand Canyon in the middle of the thing. I want you to just, you don't even have to come up front. You can just respond to Jesus and recommit your life to him. Or if it's for the first time, commit your life to him. And maybe you're saying, but God, I don't feel worthy. You're not. Get over that. That's why he came. Just say, Jesus, I want to be like Simeon. I'm not like that today, but I want to be. Or maybe you don't know about this Jesus thing yet and you're not ready to make a commitment. That's cool. Throw down the gauntlet and say, if you're real, Jesus, show me. And if you say that, he will. You think the living God ain't going to answer that prayer. So as we sing this last song, I'm going to ask you to respond to God. Then at the end of the song, would you close in prayer? And Bill's going to close in prayer. If you have special needs at the end of the service, come on up and I'd love to pray for you, okay? But I'm going to ask you as we sing this song, let's show God we will be obedient and to respond as he has asked. Would you stand?
Pastor Dick, can I just share just one little thing? Is that all right? That verse that I shared out of Psalm 34, what starts, I will bless the Lord at all times. I used to think of blessing the Lord as kind of when I would, if I would picture it, I would picture people very jubilant and hopping around and just blessing the Lord. And when I came across that verse, I actually tried to research a little bit more, and I looked up that word bless. And in the original Hebrew, that word actually speaks of kneeling. And so I'm not saying that we all need to physically kneel, although if you feel led to do that, do that. But I feel like it's talking about a posture of our hearts. And it goes along with what Pastor Dick's been sharing this morning. Whatever we're going through, whatever is going on in our life, that we would always bless him, that we would always be postured in our heart before him, that he is over all things. He deserves all our praise, all our worship, and he's over all of it. So I just kind of wanted to share that as an encouragement for us this morning.
Thank you. His hearts are set on pilgrimage with Jesus. They'll see His glory. Blessed are those who die to live, whose joy it is to give it all for Jesus and for Him only. Oh, Jesus, all for Your glory. Valley, every chance I get, I bless Your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that costs me. Bless God when my body's watching. Every chance I get, I bless Your name. Bless God when the weapons falling. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God, cause He goes before me. Every chance I get, I'll bless Your name. Bless God, for He holds the victory. Bless God, for He's always with me. Bless God, for He's always for me. Every chance I get, I'll bless Your name. Oh, every chance I get, I'll bless Your name. Oh, every chance I get. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He is worthy of all our praise.
Desire, every dream, every vision for ourselves and for our families, our future, everything, Lord, we lay it upon the altar now, before you, before you, before you. our hearts, our souls, our mind, our strength, our flesh before you. Lord, in the Old Testament, it would say at times that you would send fire down and consume the offering. And people knew that it was acceptable because the Lord had taken it up. We don't see that much today, Lord, even though we would love to. But we do say, Lord, come, come. Heavenly King, come and receive all that we have, all that we lay before you today. Lord, grant us assurance by the power of your Spirit, knowing that we are before you, with you, received and accepted by you. We ask for mighty miracles in this time of Advent, for these Christmas days. We ask for miracles, Lord, unseen ever before in this land, in this county, Lord. Do something new. A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Lord, let every valley be exalted. Let every mountain be made low so that there'll be a highway for our God. Come, Lord, come to us again by your Spirit and do mighty things in our lives and in our families, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray these things. Church says, amen. Come on in. Praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on in. Love one another. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day and week.